one thing about being a solo person is that you go to events and you end up sitting by yourself. So everyone says, well, who's your partner or where's your partner? Well, I don't have one. I've chosen now to live by myself and I'm happy to live by myself. And I find that you've got to be prepared when you live by yourself to make yourself go out and associate with other people and not just sort of become a recluse. So that's why I've kept my interests and that's why I go traveling. And I have a couple of different groups of friends that I mix with on a regular basis.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. An Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi, welcome back to the Retire Well, Retire Happy show with your host, Annie Nelson. And today my special guest is Claire Murphy. And Claire is a special friend I know through Toastmasters. And Claire is a retired Chief Inspector of Police. And Claire's been happily retired for 14 years. And we're going to be talking to Claire about her life and about her retired life because Claire, unlike some of us, is a solo ager. So welcome to the show, Claire.
Thank you very much, Anne.
And I've met Claire through Toastmasters, and this is an organisation that helps people be able to speak with confidence, and it's a great organisation to belong to. But Claire has had a big life work history, so would you like to just start us off, Claire, and give us an idea about your working life history and up until you retired?
Yes, certainly. I finished school in grade 10. I had absolutely no interest in it at all. And I started work at Samuel Allen & Sons as a clerk, and I worked there for about 5 years. And I decided I was going to join the police service. My father was a police officer. And so then I joined the Queensland Police Service, and I was in that for 34 years. I was 21 when I joined and I was 55 when I retired. I felt at the time I was retiring that my back was so bad I'd probably be in a wheelchair 5 years hence. But fortunately, I've managed to manage my back. I'm having a fairly good life. And, yeah, I've been in Toastmasters for 40 years this year, and I found that my career and Toastmasters seemed to go in partnership along the way. So when I was learning a skill in Toastmasters, I found I could use it in the police service and get a promotion or whatever. And when I learned something in the police service, I was able to take it back to Toastmasters. So, and it helped me along my leadership track there. So it's just amazing how things happen.
It is indeed. It is indeed. And you've had a very long life and a successful life in your career. Did you have any trouble adjusting to life out of work?
I had considerable trouble, but I think mainly it's because as a police officer, I had to work hard to get to the rank that I got to. And I broke a couple of glass ceilings along the way. So my life was my work. Toastmasters was my sanity, and the rest of the time I was at home in my garden. So when I retired, I found it very difficult to understand that it's morning, you get up. It's evening, you go to bed. Whereas when you were working shift work, anything was morning, anything was evening, and you ate whatever you wanted, whenever you wanted. So it was a challenge getting back to a normal life, but also it was a challenge not being involved in things anymore and suddenly being, well, on the outer, because where I used to be able to sidle up to a sergeant or a superintendent and say, so what was that all about? I couldn't do it anymore. So I felt I was out in the dark for a while.
It's interesting. And did you put much thought into what you thought your life would be after you retired, or was it like something that came on you suddenly? You were talking about your back.
I put a little bit of thought into it beforehand, because a few years before I retired, I thought, if this is going to keep going the way it is, I'm going to take early retirement at 55. And at that time, I got myself transferred back up to Townsville, where my family is. And then I got with my brother, designed a house that I always wanted, and got that built. So I was in it for a few years before I retired. But I knew that once I retired, I owned this home. I had worked very hard and paid off various homes over the years, and then moved and sold and repurchased. So I knew I had a steady home. I knew that I could continue with my hobby of Toastmasters and continue with my favourite hobby of travel. So my plan when I retired was to, after I got used to not suddenly jumping up at an alarm or answering a phone, I started thinking more about my travel and more about how I can help people in Toastmasters and just things like that to keep me out of mischief. One thing about being a solo person is that you go to events and you end up sitting by yourself. So everyone says, well, who's your partner or where's your partner? Well, I don't have one. I've chosen now to live by myself, and I'm happy to live by myself. And I find that you've got to be prepared when you live by yourself to make yourself go out and associate with other people and not just sort of become a recluse. So that's why I've kept my interests, and that's why I go travelling, and I have a couple of different groups of friends that I mix with on a regular basis.
Because it's probably something that most of us don't even think about, because we've also have adult children, and there's a perception that they're going to be around and may be able to help you in later life. I mean, you're pretty fit and healthy now, but you're, 10, 20 years down the track, there's not going to be any adult children around to help you. So has that sort of crossed your mind at all? Have you made any plans?
Yeah, that does cross my mind. I sometimes think I don't want to die alone and things like that. But I've got a couple of brothers, and I have nieces and nephews, and I certainly associate with them a lot because I want them to be around when I get old. I also realise, and I think it's part of your planning when you are retired, and particularly when you're a solo retire, I'm already planning, well, okay, I'm happy in my house now and everything's fine, but if it gets to the stage where I'm not capable of looking after myself, I have to be prepared to sell my house and move into a retirement village or a care village or something like that. So it's not something that's on my mind at the moment that I have to do, but it's certainly something I'm conscious of.
Yes, because I know when my father passed away, they had thought about moving, and then they had a look at a couple of places, and it was just put in the too hard basket and it didn't happen. But then after Dad passed away, Mum, she was in her 80s by then, it was a really big thing for her to move in her 80s and go into an environment where she didn't know anyone. Mm. So, it was a bit tough.
Yeah, I think from my point of view, I was so used to every 3 or 4 years, at least up until I reached the rank of inspector, every 3 or 4 years I was up and transferring somewhere else. So I did a lot of moving about. And then I started becoming a bit more located in an area once I got higher in rank. When I retired, got to the stage where every 3 or 4 years I'd go and clean out my cupboards and everything, and because I was so used to packing and throwing out rubbish. Oh. And now I'm looking at things and saying, well, why am I keeping this and what are my nieces and nephews going to do with it anyway? And, well, I might as well toss it out now if it's not any use to me. So I'm starting to go a bit Japanese on the whole thing and just keep what's really important for me. And when I think I should keep something and I've got no reason for keeping it, I toss it. So I have already done things like I've hidden a list and my brothers know where it is. And it's got all my access codes on it. So they will, if they ever need to, they'll know how to get into my computer, how to get into my phone and my Wi-Fi and all that sort of stuff, so that at least they can access information or whatever they want to do.
Mm.
Yeah, things like that.
Yeah, well, sounds like you're extremely organised. I was wondering what you were going to be doing with your bear collection.
I've already started retiring some of them, Anne. I've got about 400 bears, and I started by taking photos of them and doing up adoption certificates so that I knew where I got it from, or if I was looking for which bear did I buy when I was in Spain, I could flip along, find it and go, oh, yeah, that's what it looks like. I know where it is. But now I've got to the stage where I'm starting to retire some of them. So I've given some away to kids and I've given some away to a couple of different organisations. And I am slowly bringing it down to really special bears. But in my office here, I have on one cabinet, I've got all my Toastmaster bears. So every time I go to an international convention, I get a bear from there. As a matter of fact, I'm the one that started it. I was past international director of Toastmasters, and I said, why don't you have a bear at every convention? Because people buy pins, I'm sure they'll buy bears. And they went, oh, it won't work. Well, it did. It became very popular. So I've got the full bear collection from Toastmasters. I've got a bear collection at the, behind me of police officers and some others up here. So my office has my Toastmaster and police officer bears. all my fire bears, because it relates to water, are in the laundry. And so I'm all organised like that. I've got different ones in different rooms.
Well, it sounds like you've still got enough personal stuff in your home that's going to last you for quite a few years. But I have to start being more disciplined like you have, because I know my children have said to me they're not interested in my stuff. They don't want it. And my son said, only if it's really old and it might be worth something.
You can't blame him. I guess when my mother died, I, you know, had to get in and help my brothers clean out her unit. And, you know, she'd been saving stuff. Her idea was if you save something for 10 years, you'll find a use for it. Well, I think every notebook she ever found or was ever given her, she still had. And so we had all this stuff. And really, I've decided now I'm not going to do that. Mm. So I have a place for everything and everything in its place. And one of the reasons I do that, Anne, this is funny, it's probably really strange, I keep thinking, you know, one of these days I might lose my mind and how will I know that I've lost it? And so what I do is I always say a place for everything and everything in its place, so that if I ever lose my Barney, I ever lose this, at least I'll know where to find things.
Very, very clever, very wise. Can we just dwell a little bit now on being a solar ager and just talk about the bigger society out there, because it's it seems to be a growing trend that there are more and more solo agers out there, whether they've had a partner and chosen not to have children or they've just been on their own and are happily on their own now and they haven't had any children. Do you think that in the future it's going to be something that society has to be more accommodating about? There are going to be more people without people to depend on, I suppose, what I'm saying.
I think so. And I think one of the reasons that it's happening is that it was my generation that started breaking all the rules and getting into jobs that women couldn't do and starting to get equal pay and being able to finally have the ability to retire with a superannuation and so forth. And so there are a lot of single people out there, and I meet them when I go on cruises. A lot of elderly people who just now are happy living by themselves and they're happy to go out and do things. They have the financial resources to do it. Now, that's why they have the financial resources to do it. If they don't, then they're stuck at home or whatever. And that's why you see a lot more single retirees running around the place. They have the wherewithal to be able to get out and enjoy life the way they've always dreamed they would. Mm. I mean, a lot of us put things off until we retire. I would like to do this, but I'll have to wait till I retire, or I should wait till I retire. And, oh, I hate it when I hear that. As a single person, I decided many years ago that I wasn't going to wait till I retire to start travelling, because I may not retire. Mm. I had seen a police officer say to me, oh, no, Claire, I'm not retiring just yet. My wife's working for another couple of years, and when she retires, then we're both going to retire and we're going to travel around Australia. And in the meantime, he had a heart attack and she died, and they were going nowhere.
Mm.
And they'd held it all off until they retired. So I think you'll find now that people, when they come into retirement, have already started practicing what they want to continue to do throughout the rest of their life.
Yes.
And while they have the ability to get around,
mm.
but as a single person, it does sometimes get difficult. I see elderly people helping themselves on each other onto a ship, and I think, oh, I wish I had someone to lean on occasionally. And sometimes I go to bed crying, oh, I'm tired of being alone. And I wake up in the cold water day and go, good on you, Murphy, just stay the way you are.
Yeah. Well, you've got a very nice puppy dog that keeps you company as well.
Oh, yes, yes. And I think that's important. I think when you're living by yourself, it's important that you do have a pet or something like that, because it gives you a reason to do things. Like, it gives me a reason to get up and get his dinner. Mm-hmm. It gives me a reason to have to get up of a morning and open the front door so I can see life going by. And if I didn't have the dog, I might become lazier and lazier. So having a pet, I think, gives you another responsibility, and I think you need that. You need something that's going to take your mind off your problems and do something different.
Mm. Yeah.
And I'd recommend to anyone living singly to have a pet. I mean, it costs me a fortune, because I put him into Beach's Pet Resort when I go on holidays, but at least I know he's being well cared for.
Yes. Going on holidays, that's something that we haven't been able to do this year, is it, 2020?
Oh, and I miss it so much. I've been retired about 14 years next month, and I've already done 28 cruises.
Man.
You know, so I'm missing my cruises. And the last cruise that we were on, we're so fortunate, thank the Lord, that the last cruise we were on, we were supposed to be going to Singapore, and we got to Perth and they said, not taking you to Singapore. And this was in late February. And so we made our way home quickly, and then things started going pear-shaped. So we were very fortunate that we dodged a bullet there.
Mm. Yeah, so I suppose will you think that you'll change your mind about where you might go in the future because of the problems and how some countries have been slower than others to get this under control?
Oh, yeah, I think I'll stick around close to home for a while, because at least I know that it's safe down here. I'm also, people say to me, well, are you still prepared to cruise after all the things that happened? And I went, yeah, I am, because I know what happens on the ships. I've been on enough of them, and I've been through the inside of them, and I've spoken to enough officers, and I've been up on the bridge and anywhere else you want to be. I believe that it's a great way to holiday, and I think that I'll be doing cruising around New Zealand and Tassie and Australia for a while, perhaps going up into Asia a bit, but not going anywhere near the US for a long time. That really concerns me. And so, yes, it's going to cramp my style. My swan song for this whole thing was going to be a cruise that I was going to be doing in August, which was going up the New England coast of the US, you know, like from New York up past Boston and all the way up into Quebec. Well, that's gone by the board now, and I may never get to do that, because by the time I'm feeling comfortable enough to do it, I might be too old. You don't know.
Well, who knows what's the future? So that's one thing. When we think we know the way our life is heading, this is something out of our control. And, yeah, we've had a huge curveball thrown at us, and we just have to be adaptable.
It's funny how you adapt really quickly, though, because people of my age, I suppose we were starting to get tech savvy before we retired, but people of my age and a little older are really enjoying getting on Zoom and Skype and talking to family and keeping in touch with friends. And I think that the coronavirus has made us look at this technology differently. And I think we'll be using it a lot more in the future.
Yeah. So to finish up now, because we're getting towards the end of our time together, can you give us some pointers for a summary for solo ages?
In relation to anything?
Yeah, just some tips.
Don't live by yourself. Get a pet. Okay. The second thing is, don't be afraid to go out by yourself, because if you wait for someone else to say, do you want to come over to a party or do you want to do this, you may never get there. So be always prepared to go out and do something. Don't be afraid to meet people, because you usually find that by the time you get to this age, the people that you're meeting are usually fairly nice people anyway. And like you, Anne, like I would never have met a lot of people if I hadn't joined Toastmasters, but now I'm getting introduced to various organisations by people like you and other Toastmaster members. So don't be afraid to get out there and meet more people, because I think the greater circle you've got outside your home, the better off you're going to be when you need some help or advice.
Mm. All right. Well, thanks very much. It's been wonderful chatting with you, and it's great to see that people that have end up on their own through whatever reasons, and there's no adult children to look after them when they get old, you can still have a wonderful, successful life, and you're living proof that you can be happily retired and be on your own.
Yes. Thank you very much, Anne.
So today we've been listening to Claire Murphy. She's retired, been happily retired for 14 years. And she lives in Townsville, which is part of Queensland on the east coast of Australia. Thanks for being on the Retire Well, Retire Happy show.
Thank you, Anne.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.